Good morning. Welcome to our Sunday morning worship service here at Beach Hill. It's so good to see you all here this morning. And if you are a visitor here, you are an honored guest. Hope you come out with us and worship with us any and every opportunity that you might have. We'll be back here again tonight at 5 o'clock for our PM worship service and have our midweek Bible study on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Before I get to my announcements, I do have a card I want to read to everybody. The card says, "To my church family, I'm so thankful for all the acts of kindness shown in my loss of my sister, Kathy. I really appreciated all the texts, calls, cards, and food, but most of all, for your prayers. In Christian love, Yvonne Gamblin." We continue to remember her and her family during their time of loss. I do have a good many announcements this morning. First announcement is that teen meals will resume this upcoming Wednesday. So teen meals will start back this week. Also, next Sunday, after our PM worship service, we'll have a Super Bowl party in our teen room for all of our youth grades 6 and up. We will be cooking hamburgers and hot dogs, and we do have a sign-up sheet up here at the front. If you'd like to bring things like desserts, chips, and dips, that'd be greatly appreciated. And also, our young guys will meet here at 4:45 next Sunday before worship to practice leading us in worship. And if you've not been able to come to that and see these guys practice and get ready to lead us in worship one day, it's really a great thing to see, and they do a great job. I know their parents are proud of them, and I'm proud of them, and we're all proud of them and the willingness to do so. Please remember to bring Valentine's cards for shut-ins. Remember to bring cards for Dale Bateman first. That's this Wednesday. So if you have a giveaway card for Dale Bateman, bring it this Wednesday. And also, all of our youth bring 25 Valentine's Day cards for our shut-ins. If you have those, please have them here at the building by February the 13th. We'll deliver those on that day for all of our shut-ins. So if you are a member of our youth here at Beach Hill, please bring 25 Valentine's Day cards, and we'll get those out to those people who we miss dearly. Any girls grades 3 and up who want to attend the class today for the Keepers of Our Last Leaders, it's going to be this Sunday at 2 o'clock in Corinth. And please see Miss Carol if you want to go. Also, Fried Hartman's lectureship is this week from February the 6th to the 10th. If you are wanting to give dessert for that, please make sure it's in the fellowship hall by today, and we'll take those over there for them and their lectureship. Norma Hobson had a successful procedure on Sunday, and the doctor was pleased with the results, so we're proud to hear that. Also, Bob Simpson had a nerve block on Thursday, and it was a success. He said he's doing very good this morning. We're also proud to hear that. Cruz Ward had successful surgery this week. Please pray for him and his recovery, and also pray in the upcoming days as they await to hear back from the test results. Please pray for Cruz and his family. Miss Floyd Graves wanted to say that she wants to thank everyone for the food and the visits and the prayers. They meant a lot to her. Also proud to announce that Paul Key was released from the hospital after a lung infection this past week. He's continuing to recover at home. Eloise Skelton, the mother of Sharon Childers, is in ICU in New Albany. So remember her in your prayers at this time. And also, the mother of John Diamante passed away on Tuesday. Beach Hill has been supporting Brother John for years, his missionary work. So continue to remember him, his missionary work, but also at this time for the loss of his mother and the difficult days to come. Also, please continue to remember Tracy and Sarah Finley. It was announced this past Wednesday, but I grew up with that family. Lane Finley is Tracy's husband and Sarah's father. And Tracy has to have a liver transplant pretty soon. And they think that their daughter, Sarah, is a match for that transplant. So they're going through a lot right now. They have their final meeting tomorrow. And the surgeon says it's all good to go. They have that surgery very soon. So remember that family and their weeks and months to come, the recovery process, and just everything they're about to face. And that's all for the announcements. And today's order of worship will be as follows. Our scripture reading will be by Mason McBride. Ben Gillard will have an opening prayer. Our closing prayer will be by Mike Graves. The appropriate time, Brother King will have a lesson. And please grab your psalm books as Brother Moe leads us in singing.
Let's sing the first and last, first, second, and third verse of 780. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Our Jesus, who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Number 529. Let's sing the first, second, and third verse of 529. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the when all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Number 374. After this song, we'll have our scripture reading and prayer. 374. Swiftly we're turning life's daily pages. Swiftly the hours are changing to years. How are we using God's golden moments? Shall we reap glory? Shall we reap tears? Into our hands the gospel is given. Into our hands is given the light. Haste, let us carry God's precious message, guiding the erring back to the right. Souls that are precious, souls that are dying, while we rejoice our sins are forgive. Did he not also die for these lost ones? Then let us point the way unto heaven. Into our hands the gospel is given. Into our hands is given the light. Haste, let us carry God's precious message, guiding the erring back to the right.
This morning I'll be taking my reading from Matthew chapter 9, verses 11 through 13. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteousness, but sinners."
Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have this opportunity to be able to come and worship you this morning, Lord. We're so grateful for the blessings that we receive in this life, Lord. We just pray that the things that we say and do here this morning is in accordance to thy will. Father, there are many on our hearts and our minds who are sick or shut in, Lord. We're praying for them, Lord. And we especially want to pray for those who may have lost loved ones this past week, Lord. We just pray that you can be with them and comfort them as only you can. Father, we're so grateful for this congregation that we have here at Beach Hill, for our faithful members, Lord, and our elders. And we are praying for our elders as they continue to lead us here, make decisions for us, Lord. And we're so thankful for King and Winston and the works that they do here at this congregation, Lord. And we just pray that you be with King this morning as he has prepared a lesson for us. Just pray that we have open hearts and minds, Lord, and we can take something from it and apply it to everyday walks of life. Most of all, God, we want to thank you for sending your one and only Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for the mystery of our sins. We ask that you please forgive us for our many sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Number 880. Sing the first and last verse of number 880. Of Christ, arise and put your armor on, strong in the strength which God supplies. Strong in the strength which God supplies through his beloved Son, that having all things done and all your conflicts past, you may overcome through Christ alone. You may overcome through Christ alone and stand entire at last. Our invitation song will be number 456. Number 456. Brother Key.
We are thankful this morning that some who have not been able to be with us recently are back, and we're grateful always to see that progress in the lives and families of our members. We know that others are away and some are still sick, and we look for the day that will be normal again. One person asked me from another state about how things were going, and I said, well, we keep bouncing back. After every wave it comes through, we bounce back, and this is characteristic of this congregation. It speaks of your character of faith and love and devotion, and we want to continue to do that. Whatever obstacle we meet, the Lord will help us to bounce back and to go forward. We study this morning from the Gospel of Mark in the 14th chapter, Mark chapter 14. We welcome those that are here today in this Bible study and this part of our worship, and those who are listening and watching by way of Zoom. Now, there are three accounts of this episode. There's one in Matthew 26, and there's another in John 12. But I want to use the episode as it's recorded in Mark 14, beginning at verse 3. And while he was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster cruse of ointment of pure nard, very costly. And she broke the cruse and poured it over his head. But there were some that had indignation among themselves, saying, to what purpose hath this waste of the ointment been made? For this ointment might have been sold for above 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they murmured against her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor always with you, and whensoever ye will, ye can do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She hath anointed my body beforehand for the burying. And verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, that also which this woman hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. This text is very simple to follow and to outline, as anyone can see in reading it. First of all, there is a depiction of this woman in this setting and what she did. And that's in verses 4 and 5, or rather verse 3. And then in verses 4 and 5, the second part of this scene would be the voices of these disciples and others who are present there who take up this criticism against the woman for her action, calling it a waste of an opportunity to do good for the poor. And then we have Jesus' response in verses 6 through 9. It's very simple to follow that. So beautifully written in its simplicity. And so it is in the other accounts that we have in Matthew 26 and in John 12. But the approach I want to take to the study this morning is going to focus upon three subjects that are clearly brought to our attention here as we read this as Christians and members of the body of Christ, the church. And the first subject is the gospel. And it's the Lord who brings the gospel to our attention in this scene. Notice how he says in verse 7, but me you have not always. This is something that he's been saying since very early in his ministry. You can go all the way back to Mark, the second chapter, when Jesus was approached by some other people, disciples, and they said, the disciples of John and those of the Pharisees, they fast, your disciples do not. And Jesus responded to that by using a happy analogy or comparison of a wedding. And they're the friends of the bridegroom, and they rejoice with him. But a day comes when the bridegroom, of course, marries and enters into a new way of life, and he has a marriage, and he develops his own family and his own home. He has other obligations, relationships. And so what they had known in the past, that's all changed now. And Jesus said, one day the bridegroom will be taken away, and then they can fast. That'd be the time for a change of looking at these things. The celebrations of times past and good times, all that has changed. Well, Jesus was talking about something very serious there. He used that comparison in order to talk about the day that he would be taken away from his disciples. And then they would have reason to fast while he was with them. They did not. And then later, Jesus began to show them how he would have to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests and scribes, be rejected by them, and how he would be handed over to the Gentiles, and they would abuse him and spit upon him, and they would crucify him. But on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. There are three statements in the Gospel of Mark about that, chapters 8 and 9 and 10. Jesus was preparing his disciples for what was to come. And here it is in this later episode that Jesus brings that up again. But me, you do not have always. It's a reminder of what he's been saying to them about what was about to happen to himself. That's a reference to the gospel, to his coming death. And then Jesus said, she has anointed my body beforehand for the burying. This was an odd statement, and no doubt it was a matter of curiosity to these disciples, as often the statements of Jesus seemed to them to be difficult to understand, some obscurity about them when he did not fully explain. What did he mean by his burying, anointing his body beforehand for the burying? The anointing of a body was done after the death. It was a part of the final preparations for entombment or burial. It was done as an honor to the deceased. It was a custom among the Jews in Palestine of that day. But the words of our Lord take on more significance when you turn to the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And Jesus is crucified on the day before the Sabbath of the Passover week. And there is a haste to bury the body. And Joseph of Arimathea provides a tomb. And the women observe the entombment of the body of Jesus. And they plan to come back and to finish the preparations for the burial of his body. And so we read in chapter 16, verse 1, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, they brought spices that they might come and anoint him. They came early on that first day of the week. And they were thinking about that stone that had been rolled in front of the tomb. Who would assist them in removing that great stone? But the stone was already rolled away, and one was there to announce to them the resurrection of the dead. He was here, but he is risen. What they had planned to do, they never accomplished. They never anointed his body for burial. And so it was that before that, Jesus had said in Bethany that this woman has anointed my body beforehand for the burying. And then there's a third reference to the gospel in our Lord's words. Notice what he says in verse 9, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world. What she has done will be spoken of as a memorial concerning her action. Jesus had said in Mark 13, verse 10, and the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. And in chapter 16, he said to his disciples, after he had arisen from the dead, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who disbelieves shall be condemned. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Three references to the gospel in the words of our Lord on this occasion, when this woman came and anointed him in the house of Simon the leper in Bethany. The Lord focused attention on the gospel. There is also in this episode an emphasis upon the individual disciple. This woman is a disciple of the Lord. We know from John's account that it was Mary, the sister of Martha, and Lazarus. And Lazarus was there, reclined at the table with Jesus and others. The Lazarus whom Jesus had raised from the dead, as recorded in the 11th chapter of John. And Martha, his sister, served on that occasion. And Mary, what could she do? Well, she found something she could do. And so she brought this alabaster vessel, and inside of it was a very costly ointment. And she broke the vessel and she poured this over his head. And we're also told in the parallel that she anointed his feet with this ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. And John says that the fragrance of that filled the whole house. It's a beautiful expression of her love and devotion, her gratitude toward Jesus. She is a disciple, as was Lazarus, as was Martha, and they were his friends. What she did is told us in the scriptures. Did you know there's significance in that in itself? That this matter is related to us that we might think on it, that we might read it and think upon that scene and think about this woman and what she did. We can also read what Jesus thought about it. That adds to the importance of this episode. And our Lord spoke in a word of defense of her action, but he expanded upon it. He did not simply say, let her alone. and questioned them about their motives. Why do you trouble her? But Jesus went on to say what he thought about her action. She did a good work, he said. And the words that Jesus used here are words that are strangely put in the original because of the way that Mark records this. It is as if Jesus is saying that the good work she did on this occasion was entirely focused on me. And it's emphatic. She wanted all that she did to focus on him. And this was missed. This was entirely missed by her critics. She wanted to focus the attention on Christ, and they focused on her action to criticize her. So Jesus seeks to redirect their thinking and correct their thinking to see this action for what it meant. She has done what she could, or more literally, what she had, she did. What she had, she used. And so the translation, she's done what she could. This was that which was available to her, and her mind saw the availability and the opportunity, and there was the willingness in her mind to take this action to honor Jesus, her Lord. She anointed my body beforehand for the burying. Notice how in those words, as we look at them again, he gave her work, her deed, the high honor of being directly related to the gospel. That's how he wanted her work remembered. To think of it as something that was done in support of the gospel. By her trust in her, in him, her confidence in him and what he did and what he would do. And what she had done would be spoken of as a memorial of her wherever the gospel would be preached, said Jesus, throughout the whole world. Wherever the gospel is preached, wherever the best message that this world has ever heard is proclaimed, her action will be connected with that. And not just in Palestine, not just over in Jerusalem or across the hill in Bethphage, but throughout the whole world, this will be proclaimed, said Jesus. And this morning, as we study this episode, there is a fulfillment of Jesus's prophecy. Because we're proclaiming what Jesus said would be proclaimed wherever the gospel is preached, this memorial to what this woman did on this occasion. So the individual disciple comes into view. Jesus wants people to see that. And this individual disciple focusing attention upon the Lord by her good work. And then third, did you know the church is in this passage? Well, it is. The church is there. The gospel books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John would first be known to the church. They were all written by those who were inspired men. They were Christians. They were members of the body of Christ. And what they wrote would first be known by their brothers and sisters in Christ. And thus the church could study gospel books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Christians could learn lessons about what it means to be Jesus' disciples and as a group to be his people and how each one is related to the Lord and how they are related to each other as his people. So yes, we see the church in this passage because Mary was not the only person there. Others were present too. Her sister served. Lazarus was there. And we hear from others in this passage, some of whom are critics. There are some dangers to avoid that we might think about as the church that this passage alerts us to. The danger of being led by hasty judgments, by criticisms coming either from bad motives or from a failure to see and to hear, to perceive what Jesus would have us to see. That was often a problem among his disciples. And he would talk about the problems that people had with seeing and hearing. He was talking about their thoughts, their hearts. And we know from John's account that the instigator of this criticism was Judas Iscariot, a thief among the apostles. And how quickly his influence, it sounded so plausible and wise. We could feed the poor with the money to be derived from selling an item like this, had an influence upon his fellow disciples. There's a great sadness in that. People be led so easily and quickly who ought to think better. And there's another danger here to avoid, and it's related to the first, and that's the tendency to rely on our own opinions instead of taking the time to study, to learn, to grow in the Word of God. These men had walked with Jesus for 3 years. What had they learned? They had learned much. And his influence was in their hearts, at least in most of them. But there was so much yet to learn, so many ways in which they yet needed to grow, to mature as followers of Christ. And on this occasion, the weakness, the deficiencies are apparent. How quickly they turned to their own opinions, to human opinion. Jesus brought them around to think as he thinks, by what he said in defending the action of Mary. So there are some truths to remember, not just dangers to avoid. One truth is that all disciples of Jesus can serve him as the Lord wills. She thought of something that honored Jesus that she could do as an individual, and she did it, and the Lord appreciated it. It's not necessary that all disciples do all the same things in serving the Lord. We are one body, but many members, and we have different responsibilities and opportunities. There are some things that the Lord would have all of us to do, but there are some other things that not all of us can do. And so in the church, we have those who shepherd the flock and oversee it. They're called elders. It's not the Lord's will that every member of the church be an elder. And we have deacons, and we have those who teach, and those who proclaim, and those who have ability to lead us in singing, and who can serve in other ways in our services, and those who can serve day by day using their ability and opportunity. I would not... In the wildest imagination I might have about what I think I could do, I would never go so far as to think I would prepare a casserole and bring it to your house. But we have people who can do that, and they use their ability and their opportunity to bless the lives of their fellow Christians and other people. And so it is that we learn this lesson, or we're reminded of this lesson in this passage. There are acceptable ways and opportunities for every disciple to use what he has to do service for the Lord. You remember the passage we looked at a moment ago at the end of chapter 15? The Lord is dead, and there is his body hanging on the cross. What is going to happen to his body? And Joseph of Arimathea, a disciple of Jesus, said, I have a tomb, and if the government will let me, I will bury his body. He too did what he could. And there were women who were disciples of Jesus who had been at the cross and who were there at the burial and who would come later on the resurrection morning, though they did not think of it as a resurrection morning. But what were they going to do? They would use their opportunity to finish the preparations of his body for burial. So as we think back upon this passage in Mark 14 in this episode, one thing that I see is that we need to learn how to appreciate and encourage one another in the good works that we can all do in serving the Lord. The Hebrews writer in Hebrews chapter 10 called attention to that, and he spoke of it as a duty. He said, let us consider one another to stir up each other toward love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together, as a custom of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another. And so much the more as you see the day drawing nigh. We're all growing older. We know not when the Lord shall come and the end of all things will be, but I know this, we're nearer to it now than we were last week. And this gives serious emphasis to the use of these opportunities to assemble, that we be present, if at all possible, and we use these occasions spiritually by our presence here, by our worship, our study together of God's word, and by our conversation to encourage one another in love and good works. And as I look back over the passage, I see something else that I want to call attention to before we leave it. The importance of keeping Jesus in focus. You see that that's what Mary did? For her, this occasion was all about Jesus. She focused on him. What can I do to serve him, to honor him, to show my love and appreciation for him? And she found a way, and she did it, and the Lord appreciated it. And he honored what she did by his words. The focus on Jesus is what's before us in this passage then. And when we listen to Jesus, what do we hear? Again, we hear the gospel. And that scene, that beautiful scene, when people have assembled together in happiness because Lazarus was raised from the dead, and Jesus is with them again, and everybody's enjoying a good meal and a good time together, what does Jesus say? He said, "But me, you do not have always." That's a different note, isn't it? That's not celebratory. That's not something to laugh about. If you were taking some food on a fork to eat it, or however they put their food to the mouth, that's a statement that would cause you to pause. That's very serious. The seriousness of this occasion, because of the words of the Lord, call our attention to the fact that he left them by way of the cross. He was buried, and she had anointed his body beforehand. He arose from the dead, and the gospel is proclaimed throughout the world. And wherever it is proclaimed, what she did is told as a memorial to her. And who are the people who will appreciate that? Those who hear the gospel and respond to it in faith and baptism. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And those who appreciate the Lord and will honor him with their lives and their good works. And this morning, as we sing a song of invitation, we encourage you to respond to the gospel of Christ for your salvation. Become a part of his disciples. Let us stand and sing.
It's a fountain of blood from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. Is a fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft, and no soul is left that may not his pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and this stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
Be seated, please. Number 782. Prepare. prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper, number 782. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony. Lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
As we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, I'll be reading from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 4 through 5 in just a moment. But as we get ready to take the Lord's Supper, as we're commanded on the first day of the week, every week, we have different ways and manners that we do so. But regardless of how you choose to reflect, we all come to two conclusions. One, we examine what the cross is and what it means. We also examine our own lives and see if we're worthy to partake of a cup that means so much to a Christian life. At this time, I'll now read 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. There the Bible says, "For indeed he was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. For we also are weak in him, yet we live with him because of the power of God directed towards you." First off, we see there that Jesus was crucified because of weakness. But not because of the weakness of Jesus, but rather the weakness of this world. A world full of sin and sorrow and death and suffering. And all of us in here this morning contribute to that suffering, to that weakness. I mentioned to my teen class a lot, imagine if the Bible ended with that right there. He was crucified because of weakness. Imagine if Jesus was put in his tomb and the stone was rolled and never to be rolled away. How different our lives would look. However, we're shown here in this verse, he died because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. For likewise, we are weak in him. We do not live lives of weakness, but because of the cross and because of Jesus and his sacrifice, we also get to live in that power of God. And verse 5 has us examining ourselves, and the verse says there, "Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test?" And we've shown in verse 6, "But I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test." We are able to live new lives, as we see in Romans chapter 6. We're able to look and examine ourselves every Sunday as we take the Lord's Supper. As we do so, we notice two things. First off, we are weak and we are sinful, and we are constrained and restrained by that. But we also realize that God is powerful and he is loving. And we celebrate in the fact that he is so, and the things that he does through us and for us. At this time, we take of the bread. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this life that you blessed us with. The many blessings that we have, dear God, the joys we get to share. But of all things you give us, dear God, they all pale in comparison to your Son and the gift of his sacrifice, that you found fit for you to send your only Son, Jesus, to come to this world to live in this world full of sin and sorrow and live a life of perfection. From his perfection, dear God, to be a perfect sacrifice for us and to give us hope and our obedience to him and his word. And at this time, we take of the bread, dear God, in remembrance of the body that he sacrificed for us. In your Son's name we do pray. Amen. At this time, we'll pray for the cup. Most kind and merciful God in heaven, we are also thankful for the blood of your Son, Jesus. The blood that's able to wash us white as snow. Through this blood, dear God, that we come in contact with through baptism, we can be in that unison of life, that we can have our weaknesses and our sins not holding us back anymore, but rather we have your power and your love and your mercy and your glory in our lives to guide, guard, and direct us, to dictate our movements, dear God. We also have that continual forgiveness that we have in our repentful nature. All this is made possible through the blood that we reflect on at this time. In his name we do pray. Amen. That concludes the Lord's Supper. At this time, we will pray for our offering. Let's pray together. Our most kind and gracious God in heaven, you bless us so richly in this life of material blessings, the places we get to live, the things we get to have, dear God, the comforts we get to have in this life. We ask you, God, that with this in mind, we can give at this time with giving hearts and kind hearts, dear God. I pray, dear God, that the money we give, that the elders can choose to use it in the way that's most beneficial to you and your kingdom. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Our closing song is number 556. 556. If you're visiting again, we want to welcome you. Please come back and be with us every opportunity that you can. And King, we thank you for your lesson today. Let's stand together, please. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it, think where you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Oh Father, and joy I have. Precious name, oh how sweet. Oh Father, and joy I have.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank thee for this another beautiful day we've had to enjoy and the opportunity we've had to come here to worship you. Father, we pray that everything that we've said and done here today has been pleasing to thee, and we take it out and live it out in our everyday lives. This time, Father, we pray that you'd be with all the ones that need our prayers, wherever they may be. Continue to bless them. Father, we pray as we separate from this place, to go with us and take care of us till we meet again. Give us our sins. In Christ's name, amen.